Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King?
Well, good morning and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio today. This month, I'd like to consider a few of the attributes of God, especially those attributes that are communicable, those that we can emulate in our relationships with others. You know, attributes like mercy and love, compassion, grace, faithfulness, and kindness, that type of thing. And often in Scripture, these are paired together for their complementary. For example, kindness comes from a heart of love, and a kind person is also loving. Actions and attitudes reveal the heart and the character of a person. Those things that we can't see or measure on a scale, but they can be expressed through everyday living. Our God is the ultimate or the very best example of these attributes. And in today's study, my goal is to get us to think about how, as children of God, we can be transformed in our character and spirit, so that we mirror His attributes. We're created in His image, and as such have the ability, with His enablement, to be filled with His Spirit and live as He desires that we should. Mercy is the attribute that we'll be discussing today, and I hope you'll be able to stay with us for today's program.
Spoke of your honor. I have no had just been set free. Chains have been broken, I've been born again. The moment when mercy walked in, oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand. God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy.
Let's look to our Lord in prayer today. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, this morning that you're a merciful God. For each one of us, we need your mercy. We're so thankful you're a God who speaks to us and calls to us, a God who comes beside us and helps transform our lives into something that you want us to be. Lord, for the listener today, I pray that you would speak and work. You see the one this morning that's been dealing with physical ailments. Lord, would you be with them? Would you give a healing touch, we pray? Lord, for those that are far from you, don't know you, don't have a relationship with you, would you use this program and your word to speak to their heart this morning? We want your will to be accomplished in their life. And Lord, we know that it's not your will that any should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior and live in heaven with you someday. Around the world this morning, as your church gathers to worship you, Lord, would you be honored and praised. I pray that your will be accomplished in this program. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now this evening, the choir and ensemble from Penview Bible Institute will be sharing our evening service at 6 o'clock. I hope you'll be able to join us in person to enjoy the choir. But if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com where you can watch live broadcasts of the services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
I was thirsty and dry. Nothing could fill this longing of mine. For a small drink of water is all I could ask. Oh, but he gave me something he knew would last. A spring of salvation that will never run dry. The story of mercy is mine now to tell. I asked him for water, he gave me the well. It's hard to I'm part of his bride. No one could feel more worthless than I.
For years I'd been searching for a life-giving source,
but I did not find one till I found the Lord. For up from my soul came a river of life, a spring of salvation that will never run dry. This glory of mercy is mine now to tell. I asked Him for water, He gave me the well. For up from my soul there came a river of life, a spring of salvation that will never run dry. The story of mercy is mine now to tell. I asked Him for water.
If you're thirsty for water,
just ask Him for water.
He'll give.
Today we're going to begin our study of the attributes of God, discussing mercy, an attribute of God that's expressed so often in His Word, and it gives us hope for the future. You know, the mercy of God describes His focused disposition of compassionate forgiveness toward His people, especially in light of their distressful and dire circumstances. The mercy of God is one of God's communicable attributes, an attribute that us as humans can emulate in our relationship with each other. Throughout the Bible, again, as I mentioned earlier, God's mercy is pictured not only as God's dispensation, but as His action on behalf of an undeserving people. The Bible often pairs the divine attribute of mercy with compassion, grace, faithfulness, or even kindness. These attributes reveal to us the character of God, who God is in thought and deed. Jesus came and lived on this earth as a man, but the character of God was revealed to us even before Jesus came to earth. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New. He's merciful and righteous, doing what is right in each and every circumstance. Mercy is a relational expression of God's character, and it flows from His attributes of goodness and love. Mercy is a vital aspect of God's grace-based covenant relationship with His people. Mercy proves the goodness of God in so many situations. God's mercy is evident whenever He delays punishment, even when His people have been lost in sin and rebelled from Him, and they're not aware of the relational consequences that sin entails. Consider with me how God comes to Moses after Israel has sinned, and the first two tablets of stone upon which the commandments were written were broken in pieces as Moses threw them to the ground upon seeing the sin of the people. Remember, Israel had broken the law in a dreadful fashion. After God has brought Israel out of Egypt, Israel has broken the law in a dreadful fashion, turning to worship a golden calf as Moses is up on the mountain receiving the law directly from God. In this time, God would have been justified to destroy Israel. He honors His covenant that He had given to their forefathers. Now, God had called Moses back up to Sinai after everything's been taken care of. Moses returns back up the mountain, ready with two tablets of stone to write down the commands of God. As Moses ascends the mountain, the cloud of God, God's presence, descends and stands beside Moses and reminds Moses of the character of the God of Israel. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, we read about this account. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for the thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. We see here that even after Israel had failed their God in such a way, God was drawing them back to himself. God was faithful to his promise that he had given to their forefathers. And even though they had forsaken him, God never gave up on Israel. It reminds me of the story of Robert Robinson, born in 18th century England. He was just a boy when his father died. Robert had to go to work while still quite young, and though he was a hard worker, he became quite troubled spiritually and was searching for peace. Robert went to hear George Whitefield preach and was quite convicted of his sin, but he didn't move at that time. It was a couple years later, at the age of 20, Robert was saved from his sins and became a Methodist preacher. 2 years later, in 1757, Robert wrote these words expressing the joy that he had found. He wrote, "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love." But sadly, the story of Robert doesn't end here. In the last stanza of the song, Robert had written, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above." You see, sadly, Robert was prone to wander, and Robert drifted away from his faith in God. Years later, while riding a stagecoach, the story goes there was a young woman who did not know who Robert was, but quoted the hymn, "Come Thou Fount," to him. Upon hearing it, he replied, "Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that old hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feelings I had back then." The story goes that she responded by telling him, "Sir, the streams of mercy are still flowing." You know, that's the kind of mercy that our God shows to the lost. The same God that had saved Robert was surely faithful to speak to his heart and was able, even in that moment, to bring him back. Now, if we read that scripture from Exodus once more, I'd like you to notice something with me. "And the Lord passed by before him," speaking of Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation.'" Did you notice that the mercy of God is not an abdication of justice? He will by no means clear the guilty. This is the righteous judge of the earth, and he is not simply looking the other way when sins are committed. I think that this is important to point out. God is not a grandfatherly old figure turning his back and ignoring the evil of this world. No, he's fully aware, and the guilty will pay for their deeds. It is a marvelous picture of the love of God on display, that for the sinner who is repentant and comes to God for forgiveness, God has mercy upon them and grace to redeem their soul. But for the person who scoffs at God and the blood of Jesus shed for their sins, God will allow their decision to impact their lives and even the lives of their children and children's children. It is the legacy that they chose to leave behind, and God, in his righteousness, allows it. Here is where the wisdom of God comes into the picture. A God who is merciful and a God who is also the righteous judge. God in mercy can fix the heart of the sinner, showing them their need for a Savior, a need for repentance, a need for a transformation. Bernard of Clairvaux once said, "The just reproves in mercy. The wicked flatters in impiety. The one that he may cure, the other in order to hide that which needs to be cured." You see, mercy in Scripture is an active attribute, for it is actively showing mercy even to the sinner. It's calling to the sinner, convicting men of sin. It's not forced upon us, But again, the Spirit of God is actively calling us to repent from our sins, be saved from them, be freed from their bonds. My friend, please listen to me for a moment. The mercy of God is a wonderful thing, but God is not to be toyed with. You will not manipulate or trick God by playing games with him. God is merciful, and he does forgive iniquity and sins. But if you try to wait until the end of your life or the day of judgment to ask God for forgiveness, you're doing so to your own detriment and to your own ruin. Jesus came to be the complete and perfect sacrifice for sin, the full payment for the awful price of sin. You know, we like to discount the price of sin and think it's not a big deal. But sin cost the life and blood of Jesus on the cross. That's a high price. It's a price God thought was worth paying. This was the mercy of God in action. A holy, all-powerful God taking upon himself the price of sin. Not hiding it, not overlooking it, but he pays the full awful price. And in doing so, Christ provided the full cure for the problem of sin. When the circumstances of God's people are dire, due to impending conflict, physical, spiritual persecution, or any other types of suffering, those who fear God appeal precisely to his merciful character. They pray with an expectation that he will willingly and powerfully act as he has in the past. And over again in Scripture, God demonstrates his mercy by saving, redeeming, and restoring his people. My friend, if you've not experienced the mercy and grace of God in your life, the mercy of God is available to you today. God in mercy has provided a Savior and Redeemer in Jesus Christ. Today, there's hope for you being saved from your sins because God is merciful. This morning, if you do know Jesus as your Redeemer, consider this. Because mercy is a communicable attribute of God, the Bible also declares that God's people should have the same disposition toward others, and that his people should act on their behalf. In the New Testament, Jesus condemns the Pharisees for their lack of mercy, and he accentuates the importance of mercy, coupled with action through his teaching. Jesus not only teaches about God's mercy, he embodies it. In his role as the Son of David, he demonstrates that he is the physical revelation of God's mercy. He goes about healing and redeeming, forgiving sins. For you and I, the words of Jesus as he preached the Sermon on the Mount hold a promise and a point of challenge as well. Those words in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy," still ring true today. You know, I want to be found in the mercy of God. But is mercy a characteristic that I possess? Am I spending time in prayer, seeking God to make a way for me to show God's mercy in practical ways? The calling to show mercy is a call to action for the Christian. The ignorant must be instructed, the careless warned, and those imprisoned in sin shown the way to be truly set free from the bondage of sin. The Bible teaches us that if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Christians need a plan of action to help and clothe the needy, feed the hungry, show the man bound by sin the joy of walking in step with the Holy Spirit. I think we would do well to spend less money and effort on Christian entertainment and more on true discipleship, addressing and meeting real needs. Christian mercy should be a reflection of the mercy of God, coming beside the one who needs help as Christ did while here on earth. It's focused on transformation. Being merciful is not encouraging the lazy or making it easy for people to continue in their sin, but directing them to that abundant life that's only found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Then, we must help people get on their feet, teaching them through the Word of God how to live according to God's will. Our biblical mandate is to lift up Christ. We can start with being merciful. This beatitude comes with a wonderful final promise. The merciful will be shown mercy. My friend, I'd like to pray for you this morning. If you don't know the power of Christ in your life, I encourage you to consider what Jesus did for you on the cross and ask him this morning to forgive your sins and cleanse your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. It reminds us of your mercy. So great was your suffering that we don't truly understand it, but we do understand that it was for our sins, and our sins required it. For those listening this morning that do not know you as their Savior, I ask that you would speak to them just now, calling them to turn to you and find forgiveness and mercy as they bring their sin and uncleanness to you. May they experience that power of God at work in them, saving from sin and transforming them into the child of God that you designed them to be. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that we can speak to you in such a way and know you hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our time for this program is quickly coming to a close. But if you have a question about how to be saved or a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. We would be delighted to help you in any way that we can. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.
I have searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid. For a glory.